Good morning, church. Hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. Some of you may have gone out of town, some of you didn't, some of you may have had family in town. The important part, it was a green Christmas, which means it's warm. When Scott said the days are getting longer, I thought, yeah, that means it's going to start warming up again. Growing up in the north, people have always said, well, you're used to it. I said, no, we just learned to tolerate it. I mean, you got no choice. The weather's going to be whatever it is, but I will take summer all day long if I could. Anyways, it's neither here nor there. It's good to see everybody today. I've heard that humor is a great way of connecting with an audience, so what you're stuck with is me. That might be the biggest joke. But I heard this story about a young girl who was on her way to a church. But she was running late. No one wants to be late, but she's running late, and she started praying, Lord, please don't let me be late. Lord, please don't let me be late. Lord, please don't let me be late. As she's running along, and there was one of those sidewalks that the tree roots had raised a little bit, and she tripped, and she fell. Now she's getting her clothes all messed up and everything, but she got up, she dusted herself off, and began running again, and said, Lord, please don't let me be late. And Lord, please don't push me either. I'm glad you're here this morning. I hope you didn't trip on your way. But we have every reason to be praising God this morning. We're here because God has made us alive in Christ, given us new life, made us a new creation in which the old is gone, the new has come. And I know there are days, as we've already mentioned, where sometimes it doesn't seem like that because some of us did move, start a new job, so to speak, and that's a good thing, but, others, maybe in your case, that wasn't a good thing. You didn't have a choice, no matter whatever the reason, but God is alive. And Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne, reigning as the Lord and Savior. And God has left us his spirit so that we can live this life out. And that's a reason to praise the Lord. My sermon this morning is called The Sight of Salvation. It's going to be based on this text we're going to read in a moment from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35. So let's pray and then we'll read our text. Father God, you are a great, loving God, full of mercy. Your mercies are new every morning to us, and we give you praise for that, and we thank you for the way you love us, the way you provide us, and even though the temperatures are relatively mild for this time of year, we're thankful, God, that we can be indoors here and in the comfort of a heated facility. God, we're mindful that, at least for us, we're here this morning without fears of what could happen. We're mindful, God, that we have brothers and sisters around this world who are gathering in certain places where they just face so much persecution. We pray, God, for their strength. And God, we pray for our strength that you, even in a place where we can worship freely, we never become complacent. God, we're reading through the Gospel of Luke about your son Jesus, the life we live. We're thankful, God, that he was born into this world, born so that he could save us. And God, as we open your word this morning and read about your son, Jesus, God, we pray that you would open our eyes and ears to see and hear. Because we want to follow your son Jesus. And God, sometimes we can do that well, and sometimes we struggle to do that well. And we just need to be ever learning from your son Jesus. And we pray that would be the case, God. And we pray that you would fill us with your spirit so that we could live this life out as a testimony to everyone around us why the coming of your son Jesus is good news. God, I pray that you will pour upon me the gift of preaching from your spirit so that your word can be preached with grace and truth this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So Luke chapter 2, and we'll be here on the screen for you. Starting verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, far as is written in the law, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You probably have seen this Folgers commercial before. It's been around since, I think, 1988. But for the one of two of you who haven't, here's a little commercial for you.
Thanks a lot. Merry Christmas.
For this and all your mornings from Folgers.
This is brilliant advertising. It's a commercial about Folgers coffee, but yet it's not really about Folgers coffee. The commercial taps into the many wonderful things we know about Christmas, which is why every time it comes on, people will watch it. Subtly hear Folgers Coffee, so they might go out and buy a can of Folgers Coffee, which to me is a coffee connoisseur. If you really want to do that to yourself, go ahead and do that. But, I can point you some better coffee. There's many wonderful things in this commercial that we enjoy about the holidays. Peter, who's presumably traveled from some distance, has come home for Christmas. And he arrives early in the morning. The house is warm. There's a Christmas tree that's all lit up with gifts under the tree. And Peter's sister, his younger sister, is thrilled to see her brother. And the icing that's on the cake is that as soon as they start brewing that Folgers coffee, the smell permeates through the house. And Mom and Dad wake up. And it becomes this festive occasion for the entire family to enjoy. It's the idyllic Christmas setting for so many. And that's why we need the season of Advent. Because there's so much more to Christmas than what this commercial tells you. Advent reminds us that there's another story. There's a bigger story. A story that's far greater than what this commercial, which I enjoy. But Advent reminds us there's a bigger, much more important story that we need to hear. As nice as it is to spend Christmas Day with our friends and family, opening gifts, having dinner together, and I don't know about you, but eating way too many cookies. There's more. Christmas is the Christ Mass, which means the celebration of Christ. The celebration of his coming, because something has happened that matters immensely. Something that has happened in the coming of Christ that revolutionizes history, that changes the course of our world for us. Advent, the season of Advent, draws our attention back to the coming of Christ, because the coming of the Christ, or the coming of the Messiah, means the beginning of, or the advent of, salvation for the entire world. And in our secular age, it's so easy to lose sight of that, or to just go about our days and even our holiday season and lose sight of that, and it just becomes just another day. Or the best thing about the day is Peter coming home for Christmas. And a pot of Folgers brewing so that everybody can wake up and open gifts. Our text this morning involves a man named Simeon. And the text describes Simeon as a righteous and devout man. Bear that in mind. Just think about that characterization for a moment, because the very next line tells us that Simeon, this righteous and devout man, is waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, Simeon himself is waiting for the promise of hope that God has made through the prophets to restore the kingdom. And Luke has already told us that this baby, born to Mary and Joseph, this baby that they will have named by now Jesus is the Son of the Most High. The Son of the Most High whose kingdom will never end. For Simeon, the consolation that he's waiting for is to see the promise of God's kingdom come true. That's salvation. That God is making good on his promises. God is finally bringing about his kingdom. And his kingdom, or his, Simeon's consolation, comes with the anticipation because the Holy Spirit has revealed to him that he will not die before he sees the Lord's Messiah. Because the Messiah is the one who will bring this kingdom, who will bring this salvation to fruition. The Messiah is the one who's been anointed to bring about God's kingdom. And so Simeon's move to enter into the temple, the center of worship in Israel. He's moved by the Spirit to enter the temple where he encounters Mary and Joseph and their child, Jesus. And he takes this child, picks him up, this baby named Jesus. Now, who doesn't enjoy holding a little baby? Probably don't want to raise your hand if that's not true, but who doesn't enjoy holding a baby? This is one of the great pleasures I get as a minister, because I'm often the first person after the parents, maybe the grandparents if they're there, visiting parents when they've had a child. I'm often one of the first people that gets to hold the brand new baby. Now, I take much joy in that. It's one of the things that brings me much joy in ministry. Here are two babies that I've recently got a hold. We've been praying for them both because they've faced so much adversity, so much medical health. One is Clara, who's still going to have more surgeries on her heart. And the other one is Sammy. And look at the smiles on both of their faces. It's not because they're looking at this mug. It's just they're full of life. And, yeah, that's my shameless brag. I mean, who doesn't like to hold babies? But this time, it's different. Because the text tells us that when Simeon picks up Jesus, he begins to praise God. And here's what he says: Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. When Simeon picked up this baby Jesus, his eyes saw the sight of salvation. He's holding the very essence of salvation, the one through whom, in whom salvation comes. He saw the one who would fulfill the messianic promise of God's kingdom and knew that this was the one in whom there was salvation for both Israel and the Gentiles. And let me just read again what Simeon says here in verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon, he picks up Jesus and he looks at Jesus and he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. talking about Jesus, not Abraham, not Moses, not any of the prophets, neither Mary or Joseph, but Jesus. He's holding Jesus, looking into Jesus' eyes, and says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." I don't know if we understand how huge of a statement it is that Simeon has made. The baby whose parents were so poor that they could only offer a pair of doves and a pair of pigeons. That was the offering for the poor people because they couldn't afford anything more. And yet, this poor family with a child who's now born into poverty, this child is the one in whom God's gracious blessing of salvation exists. Now bear in mind again that Simeon was described as righteous and devout. He's a righteous and devout person, yet he recognizes that Jesus is the one who saves. His religious lineage has nothing to do with this. His piety and all the good deeds that he presumably has done in his life to be characterized as a righteous and devout person, and yet the sight of salvation is not his own piety, not his own good deeds, but Jesus. When Simon picks up this baby named Jesus, he sees salvation, and it's the sight of salvation that allows Simeon to say, "You may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." In other words, Simeon is saying, "Lord, I can die now and not have anything to fear." Well, we just might as well talk about it. Unless the Lord comes again, we are all going to die eventually. Whether that's tomorrow, hopefully it's not tomorrow, or even the next year. But someday our body is going to begin to fail. And I have met people, even some Christians, who on their deathbed are scared. But Simon, he sees the one in whom salvation is possible, and he says, "All right, I can die now and not be in fear anymore. You can dismiss your servant in peace, because my eyes have seen your salvation." Church, over 25 years of ministry, I have met a lot of people who need to hear what Simon has said. And that's church folks included. I've met a lot of people who are trying to get themselves right with God. And that's the problem, is that they're trying to get themselves right with God, and nobody gets themselves right with God. It's God that gets people right with Him, and in through Jesus Christ. It's God that gets us right with Him by sending His Son Jesus. This baby born who will go on to allow His life to be crucified and then be raised again. I know folks who think that they are saved because they go to the right church. For some folks, the right church is the Roman Catholic Church. For some others, the right church might be a Lutheran church, maybe a Pentecostal church, maybe a non-denominational community church. or even the Church of Christ. But don't be fooled, because nobody, and I mean nobody, will ever be saved because of the church they go to. The site of salvation is Jesus, not your local church. Not your church denomination, your church fellowship, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. That's just semantics to me. Our salvation is Jesus Christ. As much as I am for reading the Bible, and I want to encourage people to read the Bible. Right? We're really not going to know who Jesus is if we're not going to read our Bible. And as much, though, as I'm for reading the Bible and trying to live by the teaching of Scripture, nobody is saved on the basis of whether they follow the teachings of Scripture according to their understanding. That turns salvation into a human work, which is an anathema to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. Because it's not us doing the work, but that God is doing the work in and through His Son, who gives up His Son for us and dies for us to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And by the way, you can go read Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul talks about us being dead in our transgressions and made alive in Christ. The last time I checked, dead people are incapable of doing anything. It's why Paul then says, we're saved by grace through faith. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We do good works because we're saved, not to save ourselves. Salvation is not some cooperative effort between God and man. So this phrase that I still occasionally hear people use in the churches of Christ about God's part and man's part. There is no God's part and man's part. You will never find that phrase in Scripture. And Paul will never, Paul and Peter and the writers of the New Testament will never talk about God's part and man's part. When they talk about salvation, they always talk about what God has done. And that we are just recipients of God's blessing of salvation because God has chosen to be gracious and merciful to us. And Simeon, in all of his righteousness and devoutness, picked up this baby, Jesus, and that's when his eyes were filled with the sight of salvation. But even if you're not sure about what Simeon says, just keep reading through the Gospel of Luke, because there's only one person who's able to give sight to the blind and set the oppressed free. There's only one person willing to touch the leper so to make him clean. There's only one person willing to eat dinner with the sinners and tax collectors so that they too will know they're loved by God. There's only one person willing to forgive a sinful woman so that she won't drown in her tears of shame anymore. There's only one person who can silence the raging storm so that the disciples don't have to live in fear anymore. There's only one person with the power to drive out a demon so that he can be cured before all the people. And there's only one person who can feed the 5,000 so that they don't have to go to bed hungry anymore. And when you get to the end of Luke's gospel, there's only one person who's truly holy and righteous. His name is Jesus. And he's hanging on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. His name is Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, whom God raised from death as a promise of hope. The promise that in this Jesus, salvation is more than possible. That in this Jesus, you are looking at hearing the one who saves you. Good news of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God is that you and I can see the sight of salvation that Simeon saw. Just look at Jesus. What's the song we sing? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And if that's what you want, then the Lord says, come. I'll give it to you freely. But Lord, if you only knew my sin, I know your sin. And my son Jesus is hanging there on the cross, crucified, so that you have to bear your sin no more. That's why I love, you know, the song, It Is Well With My Soul. When Horatio Spofford lost his children, some people said, well, this must have happened because he sinned. My sins, not in part, but the whole, have been nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. If salvation is what you want, God's invitation is Jesus, who says, come, and I'll give it to you freely. Because God's wanting to give us salvation in Christ. If it's what you want, God says, come, because I got a baptism to give you. A baptism to bury you with Christ and to raise you as a new life in Christ. We're going to sing this song, Mighty to Save. If you're here wanting to receive Jesus Christ in baptism, then let us know. Just come up here. Maybe you're just here and you're struggling in some way and you want us to pray. We would gladly pray with you too. You're not sure? You got questions? Come see me. Maybe I got answers for your question. But I know the answer to your longing for salvation is Jesus Christ. This baby who has come to be the Savior of both Jew and Gentile. Let's sing.